I hate following up on someone like Justin. I have all kinds of stuff I want to say about him. I love when someone shares what God has done in their life and what God is doing in their life. And I'll tell you, that was excellent, really personal. And I know you could have put in a lot more stuff. I know he could have said a lot more things, but I am just really thankful for Justin. And, you know, just having known him in my life and seen him, I just think what he said was extremely valuable and very, very important for us to hear. And it just is really what we've been talking about and where we're going over the next 2 weeks or so. And I just have to say one thing about it, though. It's just, Justin is so stinking stubborn. Dumb, a matter of fact. Why would you hang on to your life that long, knowing what God has done? And I say that because I highly respect Justin, but sometimes we hang on to this life. We know we're asked to give it up. We know that we should, but we just hang on to that junk of this life till you're standing there in another country and the Holy Spirit is convicting you and convicting you and convicting you. And finally, he brings you to the point where you say, okay, I surrender and I give my life. And you look back on it and you think, why did I hang on to it for so long? I mean, I just think it's such a valuable lesson for us old people, a valuable lesson for us, for you middle-aged people, and a valuable, tremendous lesson for young people. Because we have a tendency when we're young to think that everything will be okay, and we hang on because the world looks so appealing until you've gone so far that you just get sick of it. And finally, you surrender to Christ. And that's what's awesome about God. Because he still takes us back then. He still receives us back. He still loves us and considers us as if we have never sinned. But we still have these memories and stuff. Makes a great testimony. But if we could learn from those things, but as we get older, we find ourselves hanging on to more and more stuff. And, you know, it's not the end of a struggle. And, you know, it's really cool because we're seeing them, and he'll share about this another time probably, and you know, going back to CMTS and really giving his life and their whole ministry and stuff back to the Lord. And that's not what God asked everybody to do, and we're going to see that over the next 2 weeks. God has specific plans for each person's life, and they're not all full-time ministry. Well, let me say that it is all full-time ministry, but not like a paid ministry, not in a professional way. But I love that. I just really thoroughly enjoyed him sharing, and because I've seen a lot of his life, not all of it, but I've watched him go through those processes and stuff, and it's such an awesome thing. And I like his song was just awesome. That you guys did a great job with the song that he wrote. I think it was so good. We were made to shine. We weren't made for this life. And everybody sitting here today would say, uh-huh. And I saw a lot of heads agree. That's nice, we all think so, all right? It's nice we all publicly say so. But so many times, we're all at the stage where Justin is, where we're running away from God's call. We know there's something else there, we know. But we hang on to this life for so long. We hang on to this stuff for so long. And I know, because I still hang on to things sometimes. It is still hard to really hear God speak and make specific changes in my life. But that's what we were called to do. We were called to shine. And I love that the next 2 weeks and where we're going is really exactly that. So Justin, I think he is an amazing man. I love his family, his wife, and what a great testimony for us to hear. Hebrews 12, 1-3. Kind of the theme of where we've been going the last couple weeks and the next 2 weeks or so. Hebrews chapter 12, 1-3. Let me read it to you quickly. Awesome verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, it's talking about faith heroes. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's people watching us, family, kids, parents, the church. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. We don't mean to get it, just easily entangled us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And what I want to talk about this morning, we've been talking about things like heroes of the proper perspective. Heroes, no, these are faith heroes who are walking against the flow of society. Heroes have proper perspective. Heroes know they're being watched. Heroes get rid of excess weight, and heroes run with perseverance. And that perseverance, I hate that word, because that means it's hard. And that means it's not easy. But you keep going and keep going. You just decide, I'm going to keep going. And then the fifth one that we want to talk about today, start to talk about today, and we'll get halfway through, is heroes run the race marked out for them, okay? Heroes run the race marked out for them. Now, we had an interesting perspective today because we got a chance to see some of Justin's race that he's been running, some of Justin and Jen's race that they've been running. And if you ask them 20 years ago what their life would look like now, they wouldn't know. They've been running this race. They don't know the end of the race yet. But they are running this race, and it's had ups and downs. So faith heroes run the race marked out for them. There is a race marked out for you. Every single one of you, there is a general race, which we're going to be talking about this morning. There is a race like the rat race, okay? The rat race. There is a general race marked out for every single believer or Christ follower. There is a race specifically marked out for you, for you. And then we get, and I kind of switch my words there. There's a general race that every single believer is called to run. Every believer is called to run. Now that race, we've been using the illustration of going upstream, going against the current. When you become a Christ follower, you put your feet down in that stream that's running against you, and you stand against the current as a believer in Jesus Christ. God wants us to turn, and he wants us to go against the flow as a church, as an individual. God wants us to go that way. So we have the human race, the rat race. That's what everybody does. It's just people go this way, that way. Most people gone away from God, you know, the broad way. And God asks us to turn and walk this way, and some believers do that. And so there's the general race with everybody, but then there's a general race for believers. And the one thing the same about all believers, God says, the race that I want believers to run is that way. Not that way. That's the way of the world. That way honors Satan. That way is honors your own evil desires. God wants all believers to go that way. Somewhere in that direction. And then next week we're going to talk about the specific race for you. Do you ever say, God, what is your specific will for my life? Now, probably almost nobody here has ever asked God, what is your specific will for my life? What are you laughing at? We did in the retreat? Yes. Did I say everyone does it? I was wondering. I knew there was something in that laugh. I don't mind if you laugh at me. It's just when I'm trying to be serious and you're sitting there laughing. It's like, what? I say things wrong. Did you ever know? I say things backwards once in a while. You know, like, yeah, okay. I don't know what I'm talking about then. Anyway. How should I say this? I'm all messed up now. Yeah, it's in a good mood. I'm not complaining. After church, a lot of times they say, you said this backwards. I said, well, laugh at me. Tell me I said it backwards. Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah. Every single believer, when we come to know Jesus Christ, specifically is called to go in that direction. A lot of people claim to know God, but they're going that direction. That casts a lot of doubt on whether they really know God seriously or not. Every single believer is called in that direction, somewhere upstream, okay? Next week, we're going to talk about God's specific call, and that's where I might have missaid that every one of us then in that, we can't all go that direction, okay? I can only go one direction. God has specifics for your life. You've been created for good works, Ephesians 2, and God has prepared in advance for you to do. So next week come with the question, and you're going to be thinking, what is your specific will for my life, okay? If you make it through this week. okay? Because God's general direction for every believer is really, really hard to do. And then if you want to narrow that down into what God's specific will for my life is, that is even harder. But it's really cool. I am so looking forward to these next 2 weeks. So the general race as Christ followers, the general race for Christ followers starts in Titus 2:11-14. Titus 2:11-14. This is God's general race. Now listen, if you consider yourself a believer in Jesus Christ, this is speaking directly to you. This morning's going to be directly to you, okay? It's going to hit every single one of us. So here it is, Ephesians 2:11-14. For the grace of God that appeared, that offers salvation to all people. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. Every single person will have the chance to accept Christ or reject him. And that's through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled and upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. Okay, I know that's a lot of words, and I lost myself like halfway through there, but I do want to get to the end. But the beginning of it says, the Holy Spirit, who brought you into salvation, teaches you specific things. Every single believer, every person who accepted Christ as their Savior, instantly, having believed, they were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Ellie, cough hard. Anyway, every single believer has the Holy Spirit, has been given the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit in every believer, now if you're not a believer, you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you're just floating that way and going to church, you don't have the Holy Spirit. But every believer has the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches them to do these two things. It teaches you to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. That's the negative side of it. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So what we're going through here is saying this is God's his general purpose for every believer. So who is this talking to say no to ungodliness? Is it God's will for you to say no to ungodliness? You specifically, is it his will? Four people. Is it God's will? You don't have to say it. You can shake your head if you want and mumble, all right? It is God's will for you to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. It is God's, or let me say, ask you, is it God's will for you to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age? Everybody here, is it his will for you? Yes, it is. See, what we do a lot of times, and we're going to get to the end of this, a lot of us want to know God's specific direction, and God says, well, how can I tell you the specific direction when you're still going that way? He says, first of all, I want you to go this direction and do it well. And so that's why this is going to be really convicting, because a lot of people want to know God's will for their life, but we don't want to know what believers are supposed to be up to in the meantime. And God is not going to give us a specific direction until we have the general direction down fairly decently. Not perfectly, but fairly decently. So this morning, I'm going to ask you a lot of times, is this God's will for your life? Is it God's will that you say no to ungodliness and worldly passions? Is it God's will? Yes. Is it God's will that you live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age? Is it God's will? Yes. And the reason is, it gets back to the end. Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. What's the last couple words? Eager to do what is good. God's purpose and asking you to live this way as a believer in the general direction you're going upstream is so he can purify your life into someone he can call his very own. And also, what? What is the last part again? People that are eager to do what? Good. People that are eager to do what is good. If you're going that way, in a general direction, unless you're eager to do what is good, stop asking God, what do you specifically want me to do? Should I move here? Should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this? First of all, are you eager to do what is good? Good. I did that 3 or 2 weeks in a row now. Are you eager to do what is good? I know that's dumb. So you know what it is? You know what, what is God's will for you? The last five words. God's will for you is to be eager to do what is good. That is God's will for you. That is God's will for every believer. That if every believer was eager to do what is good, and I'm telling you what, there's a lot of people sitting here, there's some people sitting here, that literally if they had to be honest with themselves, say, I'm not eager to do what is good. I'm not eager to do what is good. Because you know what that'll cost. And that's why Justin fought with it for so long. And so I'm just saying, why ask God what his will for your life is if you're not eager to do what is good? You know? Not you get extra credit. This is just simply God's will for the people that claim to be believers. To be eager to do what is good. Not to be afraid of it. It might be scary sometimes, but we're just talking the general direction. We're not talking specifics. Like, I want you to go be a, you know, Doctors Without Borders, you know, in a Christian place and operate on people when you don't have a clue how. I'm just talking the general, as a person living in Pine Grove or the surrounding area. God wants you to be upright, godly, get rid of worldly passions, be purified as a child of God and eager to do what is good. That is God's will for every single person sitting here. All right? It's just really simple. So here's some more. You ask, okay, how should I live if I'm a believer? Here's some real specifics on how we should live as believers. It sounds really simple. Which clock is right? What time is it? Oh, I forgot to turn this on. I have 9:30. What time is it? Is that right? What time is it? It's 9:40. Wow. Cool. I was sitting there listening to his testimony. I knew it was getting long, but it's like, it was worth it. It's worth it for us to hear. Okay, Titus 2, 11 to 14. Nope, already did that one. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 to 18. Listen to this. What is God's will for your life? And almost every single believer is asking God what his will for their life is. See, let's check this one. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. How about that? That is God's will for every believer's life. From junior high to senior high to seniors moment people. All right, this is God's will. Don't pay back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good. Persevere. The end of that, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, is that God's will for every believer? Is that just the more outgoing ones? Every believer. How are we doing on that? We want to know God's specific will, but how are we doing on this? This is God's general will for every believer. Let's go to another. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 to 8. All right. It is God's will. Whose will? It is God's will that you, who are we talking to? Believers. It is to the church. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. Sanctified, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Sanctified is set apart. Something that a lot of people don't want to be do. We all want to fit in. It is God's will that you be set apart. You're not the styrofoam plates. You're the china plates. The ones that aren't everyday used like styrofoam or plastic. It's God's will that you be set apart. That you should avoid sexual immorality. Who's he talking to here? Just married people. Is he talking to you guys? Is he talking to about your computer usage? Is he talking about the movies? God says, it is my will that you should be set apart, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should, that's one thing, specifically that is God's will, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this manner, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And so many times in junior high, and elementary, and senior high, and college, and the workplace, we have these desires to be impure. But the things that we watch and the things that we talk about, God did not call us, so God specifically says, I want you to be pure. in mind and body and everything else. Is that God's will for every believer? Are there exceptions for that? Are you sure? Every believer. So that's an area that we need to be working on before we say, God, what is it specifically that you want me and my family? Where should we move? What should we do? We need this. God has all these verses. I have so many here, and I just didn't even put in a whole bunch of God's specific will. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you this Holy Spirit. So if we are not being sexually pure, we are rejecting God. So which way is that going in the flow? That way. All right, these are like, remember, I'm not saying these verses. I didn't make these up. That's why I put the references there, so you can make sure it wasn't just me. Feeling better? Good. 1 Peter 2, 15 to 17. For it is... I won't call everybody out that leaves. Ellie, I mean, Jerusalem, I'm sorry. You look the same, your sisters. She's awesome. Anyway, 1 Peter 2, 15 to 17. For it is God's will. Whose will? For who? Okay, for it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people. Live as free people. We talked about this. We're set free. God gave us freedom. God gave us freedom so we could live free and not be bound up by those little rules and regulations. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. And a lot of church people do that. I'm already forgiven, so I can do this. I'm already forgiven, so I can look at this. And I'm already forgiven, and I can do this and that. And the other thing, God says, don't use your freedom as a cover up. I've given you freedom. You're set free from all those Old Testament laws and regulations and stuff, but don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. And that's what we talked about over the last couple of weeks, where we're literally still, we are free, completely free. But I've given my life to God. It's God's will that every believer views God as the Lord. Could you ever call him Lord Jesus Christ? That every believer views Jesus as Lord, that God as Lord, the ruler. So really, we willingly, as a bondservant, give our life back to Jesus Christ. Okay? So we're free, but don't use your freedom to sin. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. I just think that's cool. That's a great thing. Here's God's will for your life. As a believer in Jesus Christ, here's God's will for your life. Live as God's slaves. Whatever he brings into your life, it's okay. God, I don't have rights. I gave my rights to you. God, live as God's slave, show proper respect to everyone, even if you don't like them and even if they're not respectful to you. Bob gave us an example of that. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Don't get away from church because everybody in there is a hypocrite, you know. Well, if that's how you're thinking, you are too, all right? Love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the emperor. We don't have an emperor. Some people think we do. All right? Honor the emperor, no matter who he may be. Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. I don't know where to stop. I forgot to set my watch. 10 of? Is that correct? All right. What? Oh, good. I got plenty of time. All right. Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. Listen to this. This is God's will for who we talking about? Yes. Be very careful then how you live. Okay. I think that's good. Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. How can we tell God that's the direction that I want to go? And I want to know my specific direction, but I'm not going to take advantage of the opportunities they already have. You come to this church asking to be a missionary and supported as a missionary from this church. We're going to say, what are you doing right now? In missions. Are you using where you are right now to serve God, or do you think that it'll get easy someday? No. God says, make the most of every opportunity now. That's what we're called to do. Every single person here that claims to be a believer should be eager to do what is good, making the most of every opportunity now. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. Whiskey, it's okay to get drunk on. Not one. Just kidding. All right? Do not get, I think the whole point is, do not get drunk, okay? Isn't that dumb to have to tell a church not to get drunk? Unless you're in an evangelical free church, then it happens because we have so much freedom. But God says, this is my will for you, don't get drunk, period. Don't get drunk. On wine, which leads to debauchery, instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Hey! How are you today? I don't have any. I was trying to do like singing in the rain. I don't know. Justin's better at that. The praise team, I should have. But speaking to everyone, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God. There that comes out, always giving thanks again. I wonder if he knows that a lot of us have struggles with that one. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to do one more verse and then I'll quit and pick it up there next week. You know, it's funny because we spend a lot of time in our life asking God what his will for us is. You know, what is your will? I want to do your will. I think he's really specific. And I've seen so many people say, I want to know what God's will for my life is. Just the specific will for my life. And I ask them about the rest of their life, and there's nothing standing out about the rest of their life. They just look like everybody going that way, other than they say they're Christians, and they want to know God's will. And God's like, I showed you. Micah 6:8. And this kind of boils it down into some really specific stuff. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Okay? What is good, and what does the Lord require of me? A lot of you guys know this verse. It boils, kind of puts it into three categories. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's really God's, he really breaks it down. This is more the general categories, what every believer should be doing, but he breaks it down into really simple categories all the rest of the time. Literally this and this and this and this. We know these things. And here's what I'm talking to believers here. We know these things, but do we obey God? Are we obeying his general direction? Not perfectly. And I'm not trying to make excuses for using that freedom that I don't have to do it. No, but he specifically says, I want you to live this way. Give thanks in everything. Be sexually pure. Forgive. Just all this kind of stuff. That's specifically his will. We know these things, but do we trust them and obey them? And I didn't even take this to tithing, okay? So just strike that from your mind. I'm not going to plant that in there, okay? But we know these things, but do we trust them or do we forget them? Do we question them? Do we ignore them? Do we disagree with them? Do we thumb our noses at them? And we can't do that and expect God to give us any further direction in our life when we're thumbing our noses at what his specific will is for every believer. They tried this in Israel, and I'll end with this verse, Jeremiah 7:21-26. Jeremiah, this is just a cool verse, Jeremiah 7:21-26. Listen to what God says to his Israelites, who were his people, but were walking the other direction, and still being religious, and keeping the sacrifices, and kind of keeping the letter of the law, but as far away from them in their heart, Jeremiah 7. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel says. Now this is God himself. God Almighty, listen to when he looks at his people who have his law and know his heart. Anyway, I'll let you just get it. He says, go ahead and add your burnt offerings to your other sacrifices and eat the meat yourself. Okay? Go ahead and sacrifice to me, and you might as well just eat the meat yourself. For when I brought your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I didn't just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices. I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. This is really what God's asking us, to obey him. And if you obey me, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Here's all the specifics of how to do that. It's walk in obedience to all I commanded you, that it may go well with you. That's really cool. So we've already gone over just a few verses of the things God's commanded us, and God says, walk in obedience to those things, and if you do, it will go well with you as you walk. And listen to this, and this reminds me of the Church of America. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backwards, not forward. Isn't that interesting? They knew God, they were God's people, but they didn't obey him. They didn't want to hear that. They thumbed their nose at it. And instead of going forward, where'd they go? Downstream. With everybody else, they followed the evil inclinations of their heart. They went backward and not forward. From the time your ancestors left Egypt until now, day after day, again and again, I sent you my servants, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, but they did not listen to me or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and did more evil than their ancestors. And really, the only thing that I want to say today is, if we get into the specifics of God, what do you want for my life today? And what do you want for my life next week and next year? God says, well, let me take a look at the general direction of your life. And when he looked at Israel, he says, just keep doing your religious stuff and enjoy it. Because I gave you a command. Love me, obey my commands. And to God's people in this amazing church, I'm saying God has already commanded us in that direction. Are we obeying that direction? Or are we trying to figure it out ourselves and put our own spin on these things God says and ignoring some and doing some others and doing and not doing stuff? See, we had this major problem that I loved hearing in Justin's testimony. He knew all the facts. He went to Bible college. And he was running away from God, still hanging on to that stiff-necked people stuff. I know what God says, but I don't want to do it. I know what God says, but I can't figure it out. I know what God says, but it's my life. I still want to have fun. And instead of obeying God in all these areas that we talked about, we just talked about just a smidgen of the areas that God specifically has given us. How you doing with the specific general direction? And so all I want to do this morning, and before we get into the specifics, is say, is there an area generally that you're trying to outthink God? That we're trying to be God in our life? In high school, are we still hanging on to our own stiff-necked ideas of what would be good and right to do? Are we still fighting the flow and going that way? Is there an area this morning that you're fighting with God? Some of the specific areas that we talked about. And if there is, I think it's awesome. Like Justin did, he stood there and God spoke directly to him. And he said, okay. That's how awesome God is. But he says, about time, you're going to have to pay for this one because I've been talking to you for 10 years about this. Wait to see what penance you have to do. He just forgives, cleanses us as white as snow, and we become more and more like Christ. We become a little more sanctified, a little closer, a little bit more of the kind of person that's eager to do what is right. So it's one area. Just one. Let's go out. Let's go home from here a little more. Instead of going that way, let's go a little more this way. A little more this way. Next week, I'll tell you how to specifically know, but that's kind of a waste if we don't even care about the general direction. So I think we ought to care about the general direction because God specifically gives us commands and we specifically turn away from them. We just like those people, the stiff-necked people. You heard a lot of good stuff this morning, a lot of good stuff, a lot of good challenges. Please allow it to make a small change in your life, just a little, one area, two or three if you're awesome. I can handle one at a time. But is there an area that God's speaking to you? Not for my sake, not even for the church's sake, although it does benefit the church, but just for your sake. Because you are the kind of person that is eager to do what's right. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thanks for showing us. Thanks for allowing us to sing songs that talk about we're not made for this life. We're made for way more than this. You've got things for us to do that are so amazing. We just keep hanging on to our own stuff. And Lord, I pray that we might, as we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, that we might just persevere. Because nowhere does it say this is easy. It is difficult to give up ourselves to walk upstream. But God, this morning, if you're calling anybody to just let go, to just say, God, here I am. I hear you calling me, and I'm tired of running. I pray this morning, just like Justin did, that you just surrender to God and say, God, I surrender to you. Not asking to come front, but I would love you to come and tell me. But to sit right there, right where you're at, and in your heart, bend your knee to God. I don't care if you come front, go back, please tell somebody that I surrendered this area to God today. You're an amazing God. Please speak to hearts. Help us to confess the wrong directions that we're going, the wrong attitudes. And help us to walk out of here a little more sanctified, a little more set apart, a little more eager to do what is good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.